The Blitz. KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston. A Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Are you ready?
Hey, think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters.
Break it down. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow from Sam Houston Race Park. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780, ESPN's your number. 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Jon Snow with a zero, not an O, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And if you miss the first hour, kind of all over the place. People don't like it when you call someone dumb, but if you do dumb things, that's life. The Black Fred says, every time I hold the door, people just stop walking towards the door. Yeah, okay. Man, I don't even know if I want to get into this transgender wrestler story. In fact, I kind of don't.
Yeah, I don't even care about it.
It's just kind of silly.
I'll say this. When I wrestled, there was no women's and men's division. It was by weight, and if a girl wanted to wrestle, she wrestled dudes. And I kind of feel like maybe that's how they should have kept it.
Well, it's obviously growing enough to where you can't have separate ones. And the kid wanted to wrestle as a boy. But there's a rule that whatever it is on your birth certificate, and I don't know if that's necessarily a bad rule, because it keeps guys who are born as guys from going over and wrestling girls, which I don't, I'm not a fan of. I think I've been on record of that. So, I guess it's just a one-time thing, but it's also, a girl taking a lot of testosterone.
Maybe
legally.
This is just me using common sense here, but let's say, and they do this like in jiu-jitsu tournaments sometimes, like there's a men's division and a women's division for everything, but there's also like an absolute division where if a woman wanted to try to go against the men, she could do so in the absolute division. Now, it's not like a man can sign up and compete against women, but I think they would let a woman sign up and compete against the men if that's what they wanted to do. I know that's maybe saying it may be hard to put down on paper because it's just a common sense thing.
Right.
But
right.
If a girl wants to compete against the boys, let her. And if she wants to compete against just girls, okay.
I'd be okay with that. There you go. You just solved it.
Well, there'll be people. Well, now I'm being sexist again.
Yeah, of course. But apparently that's a thing. We're sexist. Did you see the quarterbacks that will be going to Gruden camp this year?
I did not.
We'll go through them.
I can already tell you I don't like any of them.
Deshaun Watson is on the list, of course.
Okay.
I do like Deshaun Watson. I don't like him as a top five pick. But, boy, if you can get him, to me, he's kind of the way I felt about Paxton Lynch last year. If you can get him in the 20s, I like him.
All right.
Mitch Trubisky, of course. DeShone Kizer, who I'm not a fan of. Brad Kaya from Miami. Pat Mahomes. Joshua Dobbs from Tennessee.
He's interesting.
He's an interesting prospect.
I think he'll be a fourth, fifth rounder, which is the only reason I think he's interesting, because I don't think anybody's going to, pull the trigger on him way too early. That's what interests me.
He is a guy that could develop into something, especially on the right team. And Nathan Peterman from Pittsburgh.
Okay.
Who, interestingly enough, was replaced by Dobbs in Tennessee.
That's a maybe I shouldn't be surprised, but that seems like it would have been a good spot for Chad Kelly.
Yeah.
Like, let Chad Kelly get on a board. Let him, let him show some things and see if he's, what's going on with that guy. He's already not at the combine. This would have been a nice opportunity for him. If I were his agent, I would have been pushing for that.
Yeah.
I don't know how that process works. If Gruden just picks the guys he wants, I can't imagine that's the case. But I'm sure there's someone making those decisions at ESPN or something like that. But that's a job that if I were Chad Kelly's agent, I would have wanted him on that board in front of Gruden.
What do you think of Chad Kelly as a prospect?
I think he's okay. I think he's also, like we talked about, a bad decision maker.
Yeah.
He's a knucklehead. And it goes back to where I think guys will be taken versus where they should be taken.
Right, right.
I think if you get Chad Kelly in the third or fourth round and he figures out a way to turn things around, then you've got value. If you take him in the first round, you're an idiot.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, I mean...
Well, and I think... him not going to the combine and those kind of things, he might slip fourth or fifth.
That's what I'm saying.
And I think there's
if
really
he
good
slips
value
to that,
there.
Then
yeah.
Yeah. And I'm all like, I'm not one of these guys who, even with guys like Jameis Winston, I'm a big believer in give guys a chance.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
Hell, I've been
Absolutely.
Saying Joe Mixon should get drafted. But I'm a big believer in drafting guys that have those problems. I'm big into accounting for that when you draft them. So, no matter how talented the guy is, if Joe Mixon played football like Leonard Fournette, I would say, oh, I'll go for him after the first round. I'm not taking him in the first round because you've got too many flags. I mean, yeah. The guy can play, but he's a knucklehead. Outside your first round pick, you can afford to miss. You know,
yeah,
those first round picks are such investments that you can't afford to miss. And that's why a knucklehead is, you know, you gotta take everything's case by case, and there's some guys who have done way worse stuff than other guys,
right?
And there's some guys that I'll be willing to take more of a chance on than others, and certain positions I'm willing to take more of a risk at. You know, I told you last year I thought that, or 2 years ago, with Marcus Peters,
yeah.
who was
yeah.
considered by most a bad egg. I thought maybe, I mean, listen, anybody who gets kicked off their college team has got some kind of issues, but it was hard to find any situations where he was, you know, he's not a criminal.
Right.
He's not like a, you know, he's not punching women.
And so far he's been a model citizen.
And I'm like, I was like, you know, if that kind of guy, if that kind of player slips to where the Texans are, then that's clearly been accounted for, you know, in
right.
his draft stock. Because if Marcus Peters were, or Tim Tebow, off the field or in the locker room.
No, he's top five.
He's a top five draft pick.
Right.
So once that's accounted for and he slips, that's why I was take a chance on the guy. If Chad Kelly, you know, I don't know if the guy can play in the NFL. I tend to think he probably can, but I'm not investing a real high pick in the guy because there's a pretty good chance that he'll knucklehead his way out of the league. And
yeah.
I'm not looking for that. I'm not looking to be the next Johnny Manziel drafter.
Right. But if you get him in the third or fourth round and he turns out to, you know, be the next Russell Wilson or Dak Prescott, then congratulations, you made a great move. And then you don't have to pay him for a few years. So you'll have a few years to determine whether or not he's actually going to turn knucklehead on you. A couple things from the text line. 713, awesome stuff on the races tonight on your website. Are you doing them for the weekend? I do every Sam Houston card on there, so. At least for thoroughbreds. I don't know if I'll be doing them for, you know, I don't know if I'll be doing them for quarter horses, but we got three more weeks. So, 832 says your favorite Mike from Mike and Mike thinks Watson is a top three pick.
Okay. Listen, this is why, and he probably will be a top three pick.
Right. I'm just saying that's not where I would go.
Or Mitch, either him or Mitch Trubisky will probably go in the top three.
Yeah.
I would take neither of them there. I wouldn't take a quarterback this year. I wouldn't take a quarterback in the first round. But I'm not an NFL GM, and I'm not feeling the pressure of these teams that need a quarterback.
Yeah. And if I am one who needs a quarterback, I'll take one in the second round. Hell, I may take two.
Yeah.
But
and I would much like – and this is why it was so – ingenious what the Raiders did. I mean, I would rather have the first pick in the second round than the last pick in the first any day.
Right.
I mean, because that's a valuable spot. Those second round draft picks are so valuable because you don't have to pay the extra guarantee. And if you're worried about, oh, well, you don't get them as long if they're good, Well, if they're good, you're going to pay them anyway.
Right, right. They're going to earn that money.
And, right. And I'd rather.
And you're going to have to pay a quarterback at some point.
I'd rather make guys earn it. Yeah, so I don't have a problem. If you draft a quarterback with your second-round pick every year until one of them works, cool by me. And, I mean, the penalty when you miss on those guys is low. You can use them as a backup until you,
yeah,
fit,
some
you find
them
the right
guy. Some
of them
work out as a backup.
Yeah, but when you draft a guy in the first round, there's so much pressure for that guy to play immediately, and that's a five-year investment is, yeah, what it boils down to, and it's really hard to get away from it for 3 years, you know? And even then, I mean, the Browns are still being penalized for Johnny Football. Still. Yeah.
And Brady Quinn.
Yeah.
And Brandon Whedon. And, yeah, it's – and that's the thing. They've basically – picked one of those guys at 22 every year, and none of them have worked out. Drug Bevo says, so Kelly will be a late-round Patriot. I could see that, especially if they deal Garoppolo.
Wouldn't surprise me.
Nick says, I think Dobbs is better than Kelly as a player. I wouldn't argue with you on
he
that.
He might be.
I wouldn't argue with you at all.
I like both those guys, actually, as players. But I also like – and it's mostly because – and it's not that I don't like Deshaun Watson. If I saw a mock draft that said Deshaun Watson was going to go in the third round, I'd like Deshaun Watson a lot more. I just don't like Deshaun Watson in round one, particularly at the top half of round one.
I don't mind him at the tail end of round one. But because of that, he'll go top five, top ten, because everybody's so desperate. 512 wants to know, why is Pat Mahomes so high on people's list? I just saw another quarterback created by the system they play in.
He's a nice athlete, and he's got some physical gifts. When we saw him at Radio Row, he's skinnier than I thought he was. Like, I thought he was going to be thick.
Yeah, he looked thick on the field.
Yeah, but when I saw him just in regular clothes, I don't want to say he's skinny, but he's not what I thought he was. He's built like kind of like a basketball player, not a big basketball player, but kind of like a basketball player, which was surprising to me. But the dude does have some athleticism. I'm done with this, taking guys out of those systems, those quick read systems.
Yeah.
I'm done taking those guys in the first round. It'll work sometimes, and it worked with Marcus Mariota. He's worked out.
But his system was a lot different than an air raid system.
That's true.
Which Kingsbury runs a true old school air
raid
system.
But I'm talking.
And I don't like the quarterbacks out of those.
These guys who don't take snaps under center ever. Until they're in the NFL, until training camp in the NFL. I mean, that's crazy to me. So I'm done taking guys like that in the first round. And if somebody else gets them, okay, I'll go the traditional route and I'll find one a different way. But the ratio of those guys who get drafted in the first round to the number of them that succeed is pretty low.
That's another reason I wasn't very high on Jared Goff coming out.
No, me neither.
Same, almost the exact same system. And
if Jared Goff could have gone in round three, sure, Jared Goff would have been fine.
Yeah.
But now Jared Goff has to be the quarterback of the Rams.
Right.
Like the Rams don't have an alternative.
You put yourself in that situation. And, yeah, I know a lot of people didn't like what the Redskins did a few years ago when they took Bob Griffin and they came back with Kirk Cousins.
Yeah.
Well,
they got an insurance policy.
Yeah, and it kind of worked out for them now, depending on whether they bring Cousins back or not. But I don't mind that, and I think if you're a team that doesn't have a quarterback, you have to keep drafting them. But I think second through the fifth round, just especially if you're the Texans, because it's not like you're going to do anything with your second or third round pick anyway. And then keep drafting them. Sooner or later, you get one, and you can sleep well at night. But if you're not a GM and you want to sleep well at night, Texas Mattress Makers has you covered. They have all love-approved beds on sale all month long, and what's love approved? It just means it's exclusive to the factory. Luxurious beds, top of the line, that can improve your sex life for the better. That's just a fact. Yuval says it's a fact, so it's a fact. And I'm telling you, they've got this extra coil support. And they make you sleep better. You just feel so much better because you're sleeping on a better bed. And the best part is you're paying less money for it. If you go to a retail store, you're going to pay a whole bunch of money. You're not going to get a custom-fitted bed. They're going to make up some numbers for you or something, and you're going to think you're getting something great. Well, Texas Mattress Makers, they know what they're selling you because they make them right there. And, man, walking around the showroom and seeing the prices on some of these really nice beds, if you haven't checked them out, you need to. You're going to find your perfect match only at Texas Mattress Makers. And Yuval and his family have been making mattresses and foundations for over 30 years at the corner of Lockwood and Navigation. And they're always coming up with even better and better beds. And that's why I have that Athens now, which is just amazing. Go by, say hello to Yuval, say hello to Lax. They'll take care of you. They're at 4619 Navigation at the corner with Lockwood. Texas Mattress Makers, the best sleep at the best price, guaranteed.
Most highs around, Lord. Yeah, I'm talking fancy plates and diamond glasses. The ushers keeps dimming the collection baskets, and they trying to dine us with some damn wine and crackers.
Well, hello!
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.
Yo, G, they can't stop me from rapping, can they?
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow from San Houston Race Park. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 936 says Pat Mahomes is way different than any other Texas quarterback athletically.
I do agree with that.
I agree with that, but if I had a dime for every time I heard that about a guy coming out of that system, I'd be a rich man. All right, so now I agree with all that, and that's why I would give him a look, but I wouldn't take him in the first round under any circumstances. But that's just me. And it doesn't make it right, but you know, if you've got the first or second pick and there's a guy who has what I would look for is a guy who has height but not Osweiler height. I want 6'4", 6'5", durable, big arm, good decision maker, and a guy whose team won more in college when he was under center than the guys around him. And that was one thing I did like about Winston, is that Florida State was better under him than it was under Christian Ponder and E.J. Manuel.
Yeah.
That, and same coach, same system, and they were a better team because he made them better. That's kind of what I'm looking for, but he had some of the other issues that I wasn't crazy about. But like I finally gave up on these guys with Bryce Petty, because I thought Bryce Petty was also a different kind of athlete and would be effective if he got to the NFL, and from what I've seen and from what the Jets say about him, hasn't happened.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, you can be wrong about guys, and I clearly was wrong about him, and that would scare me off of Mahomes. Now, each guy you should take differently. You should look at them separately, and, you know, that's a smart thing to do, but with a first-round pick, and people thinking the Texans might take him at 25, that's too early for me.
Yeah.
I think third round, even second round, I would look at him. But, you know, and then if he turns out to be a player, great. If he turns out to be yet another air raid bust, okay. You know, it's a second round pick. It's Xavier Suafilo. Big deal. I kind of come around to your way of thinking on that. I used to be, now, if you need a quarterback, you draft the best one you can find. And
but if you're wrong,
wrong, now it's less punitive now with the slotted salaries,
right.
but still.
It's still pretty bad.
Yeah, like, well, when Sam Bradford didn't work out for the Rams, that, and he was one of the ones under the last system.
Yep,
that didn't work out. But you know, I like Sam Bradford, but he was a guy coming out of a very similar system, and he's an okay quarterback, but. He's never been what he was supposed to be.
No.
409 says, usually agree with you guys, but Watson will be the real deal. He'll be worthy of a top five pick.
Okay.
And that's fine. I think he's going to be a player. I think he'll be a good starting quarterback in the NFL in time. But if he goes top five, he's going to go to a bad team that's going to expect him to play right away. And I think that's a negative. You look at the guys who've come out who've been successful. You know, RG3 was really successful his first year before he fell apart. But Andrew Luck had a good – well, they had a pretty decent team at the time when he came out. Now they've kind of regressed. But when Russell Wilson got plugged in, there was a great team around him. When Dak Prescott got plugged in, there was a great team around him. And frankly, when Derek Carr got plugged in, that team was on the rise. But I would certainly look at Mahomes in the second, but man, it sure would be nice to have someone athletic back there, first round, go offensive line. I think they – if I'm the Texans, I'm going offensive line first round, unless Yeah, unless depending on what happens with their secondary, if there's a really good corner there, you can never have enough of those.
Nope.
But
and that's assuming that they let Boye walk away.
Yeah, which I think they should. I'm not paying a guy for 1 year. Why the hell are we still talking football? Season's been over for weeks.
Because it's football. Yeah. And that people care about football more than anything else.
Yeah.
Did you hear our segment yesterday about the highest rated sporting events 2016? They were all football.
Probably not. That's okay. We can go back talking WNBA if you like.
So. Yeah. If Mitch Trubisky ends up with the 49ers, disaster. You know, if Deshaun Watson ends up with the Browns, disaster.
Yeah.
I mean, there's not much of a – to me, there's not much room for teams like that. You've got to be – it's got to be the perfect guy because – and I think with the Colts, that might be an exception. I mean, the Colts found the guy that was perfect for them, and the Colts right. haven't won anything with him. But the Colts have a guy they believe is their franchise quarterback, and I think most people in the NFL would believe that, yeah. that guy's a franchise quarterback.
Absolutely.
If Andrew Luck was 75% the player he is, the Colts are stuck.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
He's not a franchise player then, and they were stuck. I mean, now they'd be able to have walked away from him, but it's so punitive to draft a guy that high. You're going to pay him so much. If Deshaun Watson falls to Buffalo. You interested in him there? I mean, do you think that's a place where he can something can work
well,
for
well,
him?
Well, I think a lot depends on whether they bring Tyrod Taylor back or not.
Well, yeah, I'm assuming they wouldn't if they're taking a guy in the first round.
Yeah,
because Tyrod Taylor, if Tyrod Taylor's back next year, he's the highest paid quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah,
and they're not using a first round pick on one.
But he had such a weird season in that he's not worth that. But if you cut him, what are you going to get? If he's on the team, yeah, I'd love to see Deshaun Watson is with the Bills sit for a year, learn from him. Next.
Yeah. I kind of wonder if the Texans are going to continue to draft on that defense and try to make their strength even better.
Yeah, I think corner or safety, depending on what happens, would – it wouldn't shock me, and I wouldn't bitch about it.
It wouldn't shock me if they picked another pass rusher.
Yeah, well, that's you can never have enough of those either.
I mean, it seems like you eventually can, but for some reason the Texans don't seem to – and I've been saying this for the last two or three years, the Texans need to prioritize offensive line. And they don't seem to feel
well,
that.
Well, they did draft a guy in the second round last year who got hurt and never played for him.
Yeah.
So
they drafted a guy in the second round the year before it.
So they're investing. It's just did they invest in the right guys?
Right.
And
well, they're also not investing in exterior linemen either.
Right.
I mean, they think Dwayne Brown's going to last forever. And
yeah, that's an area where I think they should take a look.
And when you draft those guys, that you can move your older tackles to the inside. And if the tackle you draft is no good, you can usually find a place for him on the inside, like the Raiders do with Robert Gallery, who
right.
a horrible left tackle, but a decent guard. You know, you can find a place for those guys.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, RJ Bell, always one of the best segments of the week. Coming up next, it's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
It's Kareem Jackson, and you listen to ESPN 97.5.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow from Sam Houston Race Park. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, and you know what that music means. It means it's time for the greatest gambling guru in the world.
Our top five for sure.
Yeah, well, I've been hearing about this guy in India, so we might have to watch out for him, but... I'm going to go with RJ Bell. That's my vote. And my vote counts for like 10,000. So what's up, RJ? How are you, my friend?
Top five.
I'm at least.
At least. All right, I'm gonna earn your respect with a blistering segment.
Hey, I noticed some of the odds you sent where will these guys play for these teams in game one. Does that mean that will they be on the roster? Or because the one I'm interested in is Teddy Bridgewater.
Yeah,
does that
exactly.
mean he'll be on the roster?
Exactly. And, okay. and you're right. To say play, are they playing for this team? That could be, you know, if they're out the first game, it doesn't count. But, no, this is, you know, which team will they be on at the start of next season?
Okay. Darn, I was seeing some value in a couple of places. The thing that's amazing that I think will be interesting to our listeners is what the Texans' odds would be if they were to actually sign Tony Romo. I mean, they're currently 40-1, which is about where I thought they would be. But that's a pretty amazing jump if they wind up getting him.
Yeah, and I think it's justified. And, you know, I had a midweek big national segment I did a little research on and called around and said, okay, is Houston Texans with Romo, what's the Super Bowl odds? And the consensus opinion, bettors, bookmakers here in Vegas, 17-1. And a couple things about 17-1. One is obviously that's more than double the chances from 40-1. So one player, you know, let's kind of think how impactful are quarterbacks, right? Now, whenever we talk quarterbacks, it's always the relative difference, right? The old Vegas joke, how much is Joe Montana or was Joe Montana worth, you know, one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time? And it's like, well, about a half a point if Steve Young is his backup, right? So it's all about relative. Now, Osweiler, you know, perhaps the worst starting quarterback last year that started more than eight games. I probably would go that way. Would you guys?
Perhaps. I mean, what's Brock Osweiler got to do to get your respect? He earned that. He earned that title.
Fair enough. So the theory is if Romo stepped in anywhere, the impact is going to be greatest in Houston. So, you know, the doubling and beyond of the odds, I think, makes some sense. Also, you know, let's put in a little context what 17-1 means. So here's the current odds for teams that are in the second tier. Seattle 15-1, Denver 17-1, Pittsburgh 18-1, Oakland 18-1, and Houston would be 17-1. So, man, that's some rarefied company up there, no doubt. Now, the first tier by 1A is the Pats, 7-1, New England. And then you got three teams in that 1B tier, Atlanta 12-1, Dallas 12-1, Green Bay 12-1. So literally, other than those four teams, you could say tied for the fifth favorite would be the Houston Texans with one signing. Does that sound right to you guys?
I mean, the Texans are very good and maybe the best team in the league at if they had an elite quarterback. I don't know if Tony Romo's an elite quarterback. I don't know what kind of Tony Romo you would get. I don't know if you could expect Tony Romo to be healthy. And if they signed Tony Romo, it would be at the expense of some of the things they've got going on defense. But I think it makes them obviously a contender.
No, when you say some of the things they got going on defense, are there – and again, I'm obviously not as expert with every contract as you guys are with the Texans. Are there guys that may or may not be signed?
Well, A.J. Bouye is a free agent, and A.J. Bouye is going to be getting top-tier cornerback money from somewhere. He's looking for a Josh Norman type of money. And I don't if the Texans eat a big bullet on Brock Osweiler and pay Tony Romo, it seems unlikely that that would happen. Quentin Dimps, who started at safety for him this year, is up. I mean, those are the two big ones on the defensive side.
And, you know, I think with Romo, what we can agree to is that there's certainly a bigger upside but also a bigger downside. Another team, but maybe not for Houston, right? How do you get worse than having the worst starting quarterback? So, you know, because even if you got like a Josh McNown type backup, you would, you know, I mean, to me, you know, he played better than Osweiler did this year, right? Now he'd be a year older, and he's an older right. quarterback. But I think you could sign a pretty good backup that would play better than Osweiler did last year. So, but a team like Kansas City that's also in the hunt, it would seem, at least based upon the odds for Tony Romo, is if you, you know, one of the things I discussed is the over-under for Kansas City on wins, we're estimating, and we've done some early estimates, are 9 for Kansas City. So over-under, 9 regular season wins. So the question is, if Romo signs, what happens to that? Nothing. I think it would still be 9. But the Super Bowl odds for Kansas City, we project, would improve from about 20-1 to 15-1, right? Because there'd be a broader range of possible outcomes.
Right.
But if somehow, some way, you could bet under 6, you know, with a lot of plus money, you know, plus 300 or something, under 6 wins for Kansas City, I would much rather go under 6 wins with Romo than I would with Alex Smith, because the theory is Romo could get hurt, and I don't think Alex Smith would stay in Kansas City if they signed Romo. So to me, you got to ask yourself as a fan, what is the goal of the team? Is it to win the Super Bowl? Is it to have a winning season? If it's a winning season, keep Alex Smith. If it's win the Super Bowl, I think you roll the dice. Now in Houston, for you guys, it's all upside. How do you get worse than the worst quarterback? So Romo would be an improvement. If he gets hurt, you have a, you know, make sure you sign a decent backup.
RJ Bell, our guest. Hey, let's talk a little Oscars. Because I'm curious how often these heavy favorites wind up winning the thing. Yeah, because I know we do this every year, and I don't really follow it as closely as I should in terms of who's winning. But how often do these favorites win?
I think one of the things that the Vegas odds and odds in general, because these are online books, there's not Vegas betting on this, do really well is they quantify the likelihood of the future for events that people don't have any idea what the likelihood is, right? So one of the goals of the Oscars is going to be create a ton of anticipation of who's going to win, the envelope, please. But really, there are so many of these main Oscars, and I call them the Big Six, right? Movie, director, 4 of the acting prizes. All right, so the Big Six is, let me give you the extreme example, right? Viola Davis, Best Supporting Actress, Fences. By the way, if you like Denzel, go see Fences. Great Denzel performance. Minus 2,500. Literally, you bet $25 to win $1 or $125 to win a Subway footlong, right, is another way to think about it. Right. So almost a sure thing. You've got another favorite. The director of La La Land, minus 1,600. So 16 wins you a dollar. So really, there's only one super competitive race, and that is Best Actor. Denzel is the second favorite, plus 125. Casey Affleck for Manchester by the Sea, minus 150. So pretty close, though obviously Affleck's the favorite. So to me, I actually did a little bit of math. So if you just bet the favorite in the 6 categories and said, I want to make you guys a bet, I'm going to go 6 for 6, the odds are about, if you just play the favorites, you'd be about 33%. So a really good chance. But here's a fun bar bet, all right? I will predict 5 out of the 6 Oscar winners in the Big Six categories, and I'll bet you even money I can do at least 5 of 6. The odds of that are about 80%. If you just play the favorites. So that, you know, again, obviously you'd love a 50-50 bet at 80%. And just to quickly run down the favorites for Best Picture, it is La La Land, minus 500. And there's only 3 other ones better than 100-1. Moonlight, Hidden Figures, Manchester by the Sea. Best Director, La La Land, minus 1600. That director we talked about. Actor, we talked about Affleck and Denzel. Best Actress, Emma Stone, minus 600. Natalie Portman second, 7-1. And then lastly, Best Supporting Actor, a fellow named Ali from Moonlight, minus 700. So big, big favorites. And yeah, always could be the upset. But I think even mainstream media reporters for the entertainment magazines as such really don't have an idea of how much of a foregone conclusion the odds say these things are. Historically, I cannot remember a year, and I've been doing very active Oscar odds probably 5 or 6 years now. I can't remember one year where there's been more than one upset. So it doesn't mean it won't happen this year, but the odds have been very predictive over the recent years.
And when you say upset, it's usually the second choice, right? We're not talking any of these 100-to-1s or 50-to-1s,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, but yeah, true enough. But here's the thing: if the second choice is 7-to-1, that's a right. big upset, right? The one people tend to remember is Crash, the movie Crash. I don't know. Is that maybe 12? Boy, time just keeps on passing, right? But I think 11, 12 years ago now, won Best Actor, or I'm sorry, Best Movie, and a lot of people were shocked by that. They were like the second or third favorite, but that was 8 or 9-to-1, so a pretty big upset there. But yeah, it's been very unusual that, you know, again, I don't remember any favorite in the double digit, you know, -1,000 or beyond losing, but some others have, and like you said, I don't remember any 50-to-1 or beyond.
2004 was what Jong is telling us for that movie.
There we go, so, 12 years.
Wow, we're getting old, my friend.
I know. Now, somehow I stay youthful, you know, but you guys, I see it around the eyes.
We drink a lot.
Yeah.
So this Magic to the Lakers thing, you had a pro that said odds of winning the title in the next 5 years is 20-to-1 under Magic Johnson.
Yeah, so that was pretty strong negative, right? So you think a 1 year 20-to-1 is you know, when Golden State won it their first year under Kerr, they were about 20-25-to-1 end of the year, and that was obviously a major upset. We're talking about 5 years, but that fellow was in the minority. The other position is one I've heard a few talk radio guys share. I don't know if you guys agree with it. Really, Magic's not the GM, right? Magic is right. something above the GM. Who knows what that even means, right? I mean, supposedly he's got power, but who knows, really, right? When you can be fired at any time, how much power do you really have, right? So it's pretty much you have power until the person above you disagrees. So if Magic's not the ultimate decision maker, obviously Jeannie Buss is, and he's not doing the day-to-day work, meaning he's not the GM, he's not going over to Turkey to, you know, scout this second-string point guard. So what is he, right? I mean, you can call him president of basketball operations, and that's great. But if you called him the super-duper ambassador for the purple and gold, that'd be fine too. And in that role, as long as he's not expected to do work that really needs to be done that he's not suited for. And listen, I think Magic, let's be honest, obviously evolution and of the medical, you know, with HIV and AIDS and all that's been outstanding. And I, you know, I was what, 21 in 91. So I remember, you know, that news, it was like, oh my God, Magic's going to be dead. The idea, you know, and there's stories about Larry Bird's reaction to it. The idea that not only has he, you know, so far beat that, but then taken his brand and done so much great TV. And again, people can judge if they like him or not on TV. He's obviously been a success. But then to own part of the Dodgers and the movie theater. I mean, the guy's a brilliant guy, right? However you know, there's all kind of intelligence. I'm not sure what he'd get on his SAT. Maybe it'd be awesome. I don't know. But I'm pretty sure this guy is 1 in 100,000 in certain ways, you know, beyond athletics. But he's not a GM, right? He's not someone that's going to scout. So as long as they're not asking him, Magic, to do things that he's just not suited for, what is the upside beyond exciting the base? And, you know, I do ESPN LA for 8 years now with those guys, you know, your colleagues, Mason and Ireland. And I'll tell you right now, there's nothing more important than the Lakers in that town. I mean, off season, it's Lakers. So just exciting people has a lot of value when it's been a bad season. But what happens if he increases the chance by a significant percentage of signing one free agent, right? If it's Paul George in a year and a half, if it's who knows, you know, it doesn't even matter who, but a top seven type player. If they think, hey, I always wanted to play for the Lakers and now Magic's going to be my guy, don't you think the odds of that go up greatly? And isn't the signing of just one player what this is all about? So to me, I think the more I think about it, as long as there's not that requirement he do jobs he's not suited for, I think it increases the chances greatly of that monster signing. What do you guys think?
Well, I think that Magic is going to have some sort of control over basketball decisions. I mean, before a GM was announced, he traded away their best player for Corey Brewer, which I would say is probably not a great start to whatever his job is going to be there. But apparently he had that was a magic decision.
Unless you're tanking for the top three pick to hold your number one, right?
Well, I guess, but I mean that's a guy who you've got for $7 million next year, who's maybe the sixth man of the year, and you just gave him away for a bad player and a bad draft pick. That's a questionable decision already. I don't know. I mean, I think I just see the history of these guys, of Larry Bird, Isaiah Thomas, who
What grade would you give Larry Bird as an executive? I'd have to give him an A minus.
You really?
Yeah. I mean, for Indiana Pacers to be as competitive as they've been in the last dozen years. I mean, it wasn't just that long ago. They were what was stopping the Cavs from making the and the Heat from making the finals.
Well, okay. I mean, right? This is a team.
I mean, let me ask you this. In the Pacers, or let's say in the Larry Bird executive, and obviously as a coach, he was outstanding, right? They made the finals. So let's say in the executive era, where do the Pacers rank in the NBA 1 to 30 in performance? If we just stacked wins, I'm guessing they're ranked 7th, 8th?
I can't imagine they're ranked that high. When did he take over as the GM? That's what I'm looking up now. Became the GM in, I want to say it's 2012. But
oh, no, I'm not talking about as he's been an executive. I don't know what his title, how it's evolved. But he's been the main voice in Indiana for more than the last 4 years.
Okay.
Right? So right. To me, unless I'm mistaken, there was like a year or two in between coaching and him taking, or I'm not even sure if there was any time in between, right? What did he do the year after coaching? We can tease this ahead for next week, but what I would be interested in is stacking up the wins from the day he went into the front office. Stack up the wins across the league, and I think the Pacers are top 10. And there's no intrinsic – if I'm right about that, and we'll see next week, there's no intrinsic edge in Indiana, right? Free agents are not flocking to Indiana.
They're not.
So if you're in the top third of the league in Indiana, you're doing something.
Okay.
You know what? We'll let's continue this next week. We'll tease ahead, as you said.
Bat time, bat channel.
That's it.
All right. That's RJ Bell, pregame.com. The world's number.
By the way, didn't make the playoffs five of the last 10 years.
Hold on. You just stepped on something. Go ahead.
5 of the last 10 years, the Pacers didn't make the playoffs.
No. You stepped on your partner was saying something very important. Please continue.
Just going to say the number one gambling guru in the world.
Oh.
In my
there you go. There you go.
We'll see. We'll see how the Pacers shake out. Well, that'll be the determining factor.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, RJ. All right, John, what do I got going here, bud? Man's best friend. Guys, my dog was a handful. My wife was getting frustrated with the dog. I was getting frustrated. We took her to Man's Best Friend. We've done it a couple times with our other dogs before. They always do a great job. And what they do is they sit down with you. They ask you what problems you're having with your dog, and those are the problems they will solve. If your pet's out of control, quit waiting. Send them to Man's Best Friend today. Jumping on the furniture, chewing, barking. Man's Best Friend will take care of it all. And you get 25% off all training just because you listen to our fine program. Happy pets make happy households. Check out Man's Best Friend. For more information, log on to mansbestfriend.com. Remember to mention our show for that 25% off. That's Man's Best Friend, mansbestfriend.com.
You're listening to The Blitz.
Lock and load, boys.
On ESPN 97.5.
It's just one of those.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow from Sam Houston Race Park. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, live here at Sam Houston Race Park. 5 minutes to 50 cent beer. If you're on your way out here. So it's about to get real up in here. I know we always go over with RJ. I kind of would have liked to have heard you guys get a little deeper into this Larry Bird discussion.
Well, I looked it up. So Larry Bird, 2003-04 was his first season, like after he took his hiatus from coaching. That's when he came back and became the GM and president of the of the team. So the first year they won, they were the best team in the Eastern Conference, at least in the regular season, 61-21. They didn't do, I mean, after that, they were sixth in the East, sixth, ninth, 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 tenth, eighth, third in the strike-shortened season. And then Larry Bird was gone for the 2012-13 season, and they were third in the East. He came back for 13-14. They finished first, ninth, seventh, and they're currently sixth now. There's no way that's one of the five or ten best teams in the league over that era. There's no way.
Or, well, I think he said seven or eight, but yeah, I don't think so. I'd have to. It is kind of weird, though, because like Cleveland obviously was up there and then lost LeBron and totally sucked.
Right.
And now they're good again. So.
And the Heat are the opposite.
Right.
Their yeah. sandwich is built the other way.
But yeah, I bet if you go do that research. That's
I'm gonna do some work.
That's a good.
I'll do some homework for RJ.
Yeah, it's a good topic for you two to get into next week because I tend to lean your way, but yeah, I'm willing to listen. I'm not, you know, I'm not so stubborn that I won't hear his argument over it.
Now, for the purposes of this argument, the year that Larry Bird was away from the Pacers, that shouldn't factor into his record.
I don't
right?
know. I mean, he did build that team, right?
He did.
But then he shouldn't get credit for his first year because he didn't really build that team.
He didn't build that team, right.
So I think it's kind of a wash.
Okay. So I'm going to say no credit for the year he was gone.
Okay.
But I'm giving him credit for the first year.
All right. Fair enough. All right. Well, if you can't make it out to the track tonight.
I made it.
You made it?
Yeah. Oh, you're talking to other people.
Yeah, but what if you're going home?
Well, I am.
Okay. Well, you know.
Actually, I'm going to dinner.
Okay. Well, you know what? Even at dinner, you can bet on your phone at U.S. Racing.
My wife would kill me.
You don't have to tell her.
Just go to excuse myself to the men's room.
You don't ever get on your phone.
The powder room.
You don't ever get on your phone at the table with your wife to tweet and things like that?
Usually not when we're out to dinner. She has a low tolerance for that.
Mine's kind of the same way. Well, you know what? You can bet on them before you go to dinner.
Okay.
And the cool thing
about... Where can I do that?
U.S. Racing.
That's what I thought you would say.
And this is such a cool site because... USRacing.com, they've got award-winning race analysis, interviews, free handicapping tips, stories on trainers, jockeys, owners, breeders, horses, and new technology and developments in the horse racing industry. But you can also get your wagers down. Bet on over 200 tracks from your computer, tablets, and, yes, your phone. As a matter of fact, I do it all the time. I use my phone all the time to bet on these tracks. They offer daily rebates up to 8%. On a lot of the tracks. So if you're a pretty good handicapper and you're getting 8% back, then you're going to do well. You get bets on horses, jockeys, even trainers. The bets are safe, fun, and secure. And new players can qualify for a $150 sign-up bonus. And the cool thing is the Visa, MasterCard, instant deposit, their payouts are the fastest of any online horse racing site. And I'm telling you, that mobile phone is great. I've been using it the last few days and have fallen in love with this site. It's easy, full track odds, all the tracks you could possibly want. You like Greyhound Racing, they got you covered on that too. Excellent customer support. The customer comes first at BetUS Racing. They deliver quality service to every player, and I guarantee you, if you have a question, they respond right away. Sign up today. All you have to do is go to usracing.com or call 1-844-US-RACING now to set up your account. Use promo code PONY. That's promo code PONY. And get in the game at usracing.com.
ESPN 97.5.